Got some predictions for the second half of the season. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, the NFL season, that is. Perl, basically here at the halfway mark, it's a lopsided season now, so it's kind of hard to tell exactly where the middle is, but we're calling it today. The middle, as Thursday Night Football kicks off, Ravens, Bengals tonight. So we're going to recap a little of the first half of the season. We'll give you some predictions for the second half. You ready to go?
Oh, I'm so ready. And I think you can actually, if you do a lot of advanced math, figure out the exact midpoint of the season. I think it was Tuesday at 11:14 a.m.
Well, we weren't on the air then. Yeah. So it's going to have to be today. So yeah, EJ's going to give us something, a question. We're going to answer it for you. Let's go.
All right. So far in this NFL season, what has been the biggest disappointment?
Go ahead.
To me, it's got to be the Cleveland Browns. And I understand that Deshaun Watson got hurt and that he tore his Achilles. But last year, Deshaun Watson got hurt. And this team made the playoffs with a variety of quarterbacks finally landing on the immortal Joe Flacco. So to me, they changed their entire offensive coaching staff after they lost to the Texans. I don't know if we're seeing positive returns on that. They're already traded two great players, Amari Cooper and Za'Darius Smith. So I think the Browns, without a doubt, biggest disappointment of the season.
Really? But the Browns were not a favorite to really do much, though.
They made the playoffs last year.
Right. But my team, my biggest disappointment is in the same division, but a team that I think a lot of really, really smart people thought were going to reach a Super Bowl, including myself.
Yeah, one particular.
The Cincinnati Bengals are definitely most disappointing because, okay, they got off to that slow start like they always do. That's like a Zach Taylor, their coach, is 1-11 in his first two games. And then they turn around and put the pedal to the metal. Not this year. For some reason, Cincinnati is... I'm disappointed because it was my personal pick to win the Super Bowl because I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. It's not going to happen this year. I think there was just a few bounces. Like, a couple things can happen in a season. It's such a parity league. I think the way they... That 4th-and-16 pass interference was just a gigantic play. I think it was a season changer against the Chiefs. They win that game as they should have. Then I think they look like a front runner in the AFC, and it went the wrong way. Then injuries happen, and now we are really stuck, desperate to try and make a wild card spot.
And they, again, are in Baltimore tonight to play the Ravens in what feels like as close to a must win in Week 10 that you can have.
Let's go to the biggest surprise of the first half of the season.
Can I go first? Because I want to go with the obvious one. I did not see the Washington Commanders coming because I have seen 20 years of Dan Snyder Washington football, and my brain could not compute that all of a sudden this team would be so good, that Cliff Kingsbury would be the hottest next year head coach hire there is, that Dan Quinn would get that defense with really no talent playing at this level. I mean, one thing, their defense hasn't really played a lot of good offenses, so I think they come back to earth a little bit, but Jaden Daniels was my rookie of the year pick. I'm not surprised he's that good. It's just the way the rest of the team is playing is shocking to me. They just really look like a solid football team.
Well, and to your point, this great home field advantage that was like, they're 4-0 at home. Whoever saw that coming with the Commanders? You thought it'd take a while to get the thing back on the track, like train back on the tracks, or get people excited about Commanders football, and it took about a month.
Yeah, I mean, we did have one season of this with RG3. Remember, there was a lot of hope, and it all fell apart. I knock on wood.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen again. But, they really seem to be like, and also, they seem to be like a team who enjoys each other. Yeah, I never saw any of that during the Daniel Snyder era. When did they have the fight of the two huge guys?
That was not that long ago. That
was last year, right?
Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen?
Yes. Or somebody like that. Like, that's how I think of, like, the old era. Now it seems like, man, this is a fun team. They're fun to watch. They're my biggest surprise.
Can I also give another surprise on top of that? Just Jaden Daniels looking this much better than Caleb Williams?
I'll give you, he's 2 years older. And he was a lot better last year than Caleb was. Like, last year, Jaden Daniels basically averaged 20 yards a play.
In college, right. But he also had, you know, future NFL players all along his offensive line.
Right.
Obviously, his wide receivers were awesome. They're in the NFL doing great things. Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr.
But isn't he designed more to be an instant success because he's a better runner than Caleb? Maybe. I mean, Caleb is very mobile.
He's a great scrambler.
But he doesn't like to run downfield. Jaden has that running downfield thing. So, I believe it. It's not like I saw that coming for sure. But I do feel like he's designed to be a good rookie a little better than Caleb. So wait, I have a question for you off that. Are you willing to commit that Jaden Daniels should have gone, has a brighter future? Does it feel like that's a conversation now?
I'm not going there yet.
Okay.
But it's looking bleak here. My biggest surprise is the Arizona Cardinals at 5-4. We looked at this NFC West division, always felt like it's just going to be the Seahawks and the Rams kind of fighting it out from now to eternity. And then Seahawks had a new head coach, so you kind of see what happens with them. It's very bunched up in the division. But Arizona, I thought they were going to be dreadful this year. I thought Marvin Harrison was just going to languish there. And instead, Kyler Murray, I think, definitely holds on to his job now. They're not trading him away. That was a real conversation from last season. Jonathan Gannon does not look like a disaster as a coach by any stretch. I like this Cardinals team, and the defense is getting a little better every week.
I don't know.
They have a negative point differential. It's not like they're this great team.
I know. Like, so some of their wins have just been so close and weird. They did blow out the Bears last week, but are the Bears any good? They blew. I'm looking at their schedule. They beat Miami. Who is the quarterback? That was Tua. So, but Miami blew that game. They're very hard for me to figure out. Don't you find them kind of mysterious?
Like, surprised.
I was just talking about in the newsroom. The Jets are favored by 1 point in Arizona this week. Explain that to me.
Well, I mean, last time we saw the Jets, they were favored against the Texans at home, and it ended up being the right call.
That's exactly what Andrew Bogus said. Yeah. So that's the thing. I do not know who this Cardinals team is, but I will tell you one thing. When you bet against the Cardinals and you see James Conner coming at you, he is a force. And he's a great running back. And we had a caller, Rich in Chicago, point out, like, that's how you win in the NFL right now. They are running the ball, and that formula is working. I'm dying to know how they finish the season. It's up in the air.
DJ, what's next?
Yeah, 4.5 yards a carry for James Conner this year.
Wow.
Let's go to team that you can't quit this season.
Oh, it's the Jets. It's EJ's Jets.
Oh,
it's something about Aaron Rodgers. They are favored, as you said, by a point on the road against Arizona. Bums. Vegas can't quit them either. I mean, the defense took a step back when Saleh got fired, but maybe they can get their acts together. They got the bones of a good defense.
He's a bum.
Sauce Gardner can't tackle right now, but maybe he'll find it.
He can tackle when he's trying to cover a guy, and it's called defensive pass interference.
Garrett Wilson, catch of the year nominee the last time we saw them out. I cannot quit the New York Jets, Perloff. What about
you? Don't be a freaking weirdo.
I want a permanent flex out for the Jets. Don't care. I quit them 3 years ago, and I sometimes jump back on the bandwagon. I'm not going to do it yet. Okay, San Francisco 49ers. Listen, they're 4-4. They've been the picture of mediocrity, but I hold on to this fantasy that everyone's going to come back and they're going to be the Niners from last year. Is that a fantasy?
No, Christian McCaffrey's coming back this week. He's pain-free.
Even if McCaffrey comes back, like, doesn't it feel like they're never going to be, like, their peak was last year? I'm starting to feel that way. Like, Ayuk's not coming back. Yeah. You know, Trent Williams is not getting any younger. Kittle is not going to stay healthy. Debo is a shadow of himself. But I still think, like, they find some answer here. And, like, somebody like an Isaac Garendo comes out and is unstoppable. So I feel like I still view the Niners as this elite team when we haven't seen the evidence on the field.
They're only the God only knows. Team with a positive point differential in the NFC West, but they're in third place.
Pain.
Are they still the favorite in the NFC? Or the the Lions pass them eventually, but they're close. I was looking at the odds recently. Like, Vegas, I used to mention Vegas can't quit the Jets. They definitely can't quit the Chargers. And they love your Bills, too.
I don't like playing this game.
All right, what's next?
All right, so last one here, and this is a little bit of a look ahead to the second half of the season. The one thing you won't see coming.
Yeah, trying to look into the crystal ball, the one thing that would really just shock the absolute heck out of me, and I'll tell you what mine is, Bryce Young finishing the year strong. They're going to be in Munich, Germany this weekend, taking on Manny's New York Giants. Then they've got the Chiefs, so that's not an easy landing spot. But if Bryce Young plays well and it somehow becomes a question about whether he's salvageable in Carolina, that would be the one thing I would have never seen coming, Perloff. That would be the biggest stunner of the season.
That would be very surprising. Certainly looked good against New Orleans, but New Orleans was
terrible.
So it's hard to tell. He'll probably, I don't know what to expect of this Giants game.
Europe games, to me, throw them away.
I know, I won't watch it.
I never bet on them. I don't, they're weird to me.
If you don't bet on this game or have fantasy implications or not a Giants fan or a Panthers fan and you watch this game, you might have a problem.
There's a helpline we have for you. Toll free.
Okay. My thing that maybe some people see this coming, I feel like the Rams are about to go on a serious roll. They did last year. Maybe this isn't a hot take, but I love their young defensive players. I feel like their GM, Les Snead, deserves more credit because this Jared Verse, Braden Fisk combo, they looked amazing last week against Seattle. They're younger. I assume they get a little better. And eventually, if you have a full Cup Nacua combo platter with Kyron Williams, if you get all those guys together, like, oh my God, this team could be really good. Now, that being said, they have not been consistent week to week. You have no idea which Rams team you're going to see, but I feel like they have a lot of talent. It could make a lot of noise.
Well, they've won three in a row.
So there you go.
You got a little runway here.
Maybe it's not a hot take. They have some easy games coming up, I know. They have Miami, New England.
Saints.
They kind of seem ferocious because you would have thought they'd take a massive fall off after Aaron Donald left. Kind of feels like they're never going to replace Aaron Donald, but they've figured out a way to be something on defense, which is pretty good because you're losing maybe the greatest defensive player of our era, gone. And now usually teams like that fall off. The Rams have not. But can they stay healthy? That's a big question.
So you have the Rams about to go on a run, but you can't quit the 49ers. So who do you think wins the division?
I think it's like last year. I think the Niners win the division and the Rams are right behind them in the wild card.
There you go. 855-212-4227.
Well, also, the Cardinals, I like your Cardinals pick. Maybe they get the second wild or the third wild card. Because I think the way it's shaping up now, you could be 9-8 and maybe get that wild card in the NFC.
EJ, how'd we do?
You guys did pretty well. I feel like when I thought about surprises, the one that I actually was thinking a lot about was the Chargers being 5-3 despite Justin Herbert being so injured.
Yeah, but look at that schedule. Jeez Louise.
I know.
They're like Notre Dame football.
But if you legit told me, when we were talking, when we had Dr. Rock on the show and we talked about how bad that foot is and now the ankle, like you would have told me he's going to be pretty much playing injured and those receivers, and they'd be 5-3, I would be very surprised by that.
I mean, I have been.
Honestly, it's crazy though. EJ, look at their wins. It's insane how this is laid out for them, and it will continue to lay out for them.
The best thing that happened to them last year was them cratering because it gave them that weak last place schedule, and they're just feasting on that.
Can I read you the quarterbacks, A.B.?
Yeah, go ahead.
Aiden O'Connell, Bryce Young, Bo Nix. Was it Hayner or Spencer Rattler? And last week, Jameis Winston. I mean, that is a who's who of bad football. So I just find it very hard to figure out.
All of a sudden, the receivers look good, though.
No.
Everything looks just a little bit better.
Against what?
Well, again, I mean, they're playing a good, in theory, I guess, Cleveland defense. I don't know. That game was a laugher.
It just continues. They have so many bad games on their schedule that they're definitely going to make the playoffs, but I don't think we know exactly who they are. I think even Harbaugh is like, wow, we're really good.
855-212-4227.
Can I quickly give you a one thing you won't see coming?
Yeah, go ahead.
Packers don't make the playoffs.
Do not?
No.
Because of Jordan Love's injury?
Yes. Yeah. I think this is just one of those, it's just, we're waiting for the shoe to drop and the situation to really get out of hand.
He's a bum.
You kind of been down on them coming into the year too, right?
I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. I had them just barely missing, even with 10 wins. I think that may happen.
I feel
this
show
year.
Bet.
They're on their bye week right now. And yeah, I mean, listen, how many injuries to a quarterback can you have?
Well,
Jordan Love has a knee. Now he's got a groin issue.
Just going to throw out there, what are you willing to do if they do make the playoffs? Is there something involving cheese we can make EJ do?
Wait, for Packers then?
Yeah. Melted cheese.
I think we still owe EJ a king for a day.
Yes, because of the home runs.
Wait, we never settled that. What was the total?
I know I won, but we should
No, we need to see the math.
We tally it up. That's fine. I'm not afraid of recount.
It shouldn't be that hard.
No.
Who'd you get? Stan, right?
At Stan, I had Ohtani and I had Tatis.
Yeah, EJ definitely won. We did a draft of who's going to hit the most home runs in the postseason.
I need to see the math.
And three of EJ's picks went on historic runs, like for what they did.
How many Ohtani hit? He didn't hit that.
They hit three.
All right.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. I mean, Stanton was, you know, basically climbing the ranks of Yankee history of like all-time postseason home runs.
God bless.
And Tatis was on fire.
He had like 5-4 games. So it's like, yeah, this, I don't know. Tally them up. I'm fine.
Do you want to be king for a day tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow.
Should we do it tomorrow?
Love it.
Because we gotta pay that bet off.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm ready for that.
I mean, you deserved it. You won it.
I'm still upset about the shade Perloff gave with me picking Tatis and him suggesting that it was like dumb luck. I take offense.
Did
to
I
that.
Say that?
You were kind of like him and Hahn. You just
oh yeah. Was he your third pick?
It was my last pick. Yeah.
Yeah. That worked out well. Even you admitted, like, well, I'm glad he fell there.
Yeah. No. I was.
Yeah. I love all these Mets fans who didn't pick Alonso.
Yeah, that backfired.
Quote unquote experts.
That backfired. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including we've got college football on the docket this weekend. Seasons on the line. Maggie and Perloff.
The Dependable Player of the Week is sponsored by Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Reminding you that health is a long game and screening for prostate cancer easier than ever. Learn more at depend.com. So this Dependable Player of the Week. EJ, I don't want you to pick somebody who had a big game last night. I want you to go back through the week
I have a great nominee, though. I actually have two for that I thought EJ might pick last night.
Okay.
Brandon Miller with the game winner for the Hornets.
Yeah.
Steph Curry coming through big time hostile environment in Boston last night. He scored 27.
But that's better than, like, I don't know, Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or somebody who just went bananas about your guy Cam Ward. The player of the week, not player of Wednesday night.
I know, but we're closer to the next week now. We got football again tonight. We're not going back to do old stuff.
I want to see, like, who had the most dependable moment of the week. And you're saying Brandon Miller is more dependable than, say, I don't know, Kyler Murray. Give me a player here. I want football in here. But I'll bet you you're right. I bet you EJ did go with last night's NBA action.
Am I close?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
College football?
Yes.
Cam Ward? No, Isaac Restrepo?
Xavier. Not
Xavier
Isaac.
Restrepo?
No, close. I don't want to be at home. I already picked Cam Kitchen. So I wanted to pick a player that I think really changed the course of his team's season potentially with their win. So for me,
Jake Retzlaff?
No. So today, defensive player, dependable player.
Oh, it's dependable,
yeah. Is Taj Brooks, running back Texas Tech, who scored the game-winning touchdown against Iowa State to give Texas Tech a win over Iowa State, knocking them off from being undefeated. Texas Tech now squarely back into the Big 12 race for maybe getting into the college football playoff because that's an automatic qualifier. Texas Tech really changed their season. Taj Brooks, 122 yards in the game-winning touchdown in that one.
Is this just a setup so Colorado has a better win over Texas Tech this week? Because I think this is not what I think most people would go with. Because Texas Tech, who's talking about Texas Tech? Like,
no,
all
this
of a
is great. Actually, people are talking about Texas Tech.
Because
I think
it's
the
a
Big
fodder
12,
for Colorado.
Well, I think it's also the Big 12 is setting up to be bananas like it usually is. So I love that, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Texas Tech had lost two in a row, two really bad losses. So you kind of thought maybe the season was over. And they turn around and they had the biggest win of the season. Now they're squarely right in the mix.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the Big 12, and did you see that Mike Gundy apologized yesterday? You had given us his...
apologize for what?
Wait, Bogish gave us all the quotes that he gave after the game about, you know, people who criticize us can't pay their bills and said all this crazy stuff, and then he had to apologize on Twitter?
No.
Did you give us the apology yesterday?
I did.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to say that, but I knew Bogish would.
I'm sorry.
I actually wasn't.
Wait a minute. Sorry. Now I have to apologize to you on Twitter. Wait, like Mike Gundy just apologized to everyone.
I didn't intend to insult you by saying you were weak-minded and poor, but my bad.
No, and it was one of those to whom I offended.
Yes.
It's like, well, if you got offended.
As I said yesterday.
Who's a little thin-skinned?
But I'm going to defend Maggie here. Like, Mike Gundy.
You don't listen either, I know.
Well, no, it's not that. It's Mike Gundy apologized for something. It's like, take your pick. I'm like, you know, it's like, Maggie's right. Like, there must have been three things since that story.
Now I'm remembering how long this conversation went after we did the story because EJ said he might get fired soon, and you were appalled by that suggestion.
No, I wasn't appalled. I just said, like, it doesn't feel like, what is Oklahoma State without Mike Gundy? I mean, like, that is an institution.
Maybe winning? You're not 0-6 in the conference?
Yeah, but I pointed out they were 12-2 like 2 years ago.
Okay, so I was thinking a little bit more about this because I know we did it yesterday. I'm sorry I didn't get the news peg that it was the apology. But again, a Mike Gundy apology, days of the week. I thought maybe he was trying to get fired. Is that a possibility at all? Because those quotes, even for Mike Gundy, who weirdly almost advocated for drunk driving earlier this year.
Yeah, if you know, like, it happens.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like,
everyone does it. But I just did it. I got here.
I do this all the time. It's like, what? You're the head football coach of all young people. And one of them got a DUI and now his season has been totally off the rails. And Ollie Gordon, where'd he go? Anyway, do you think he was trying to get fired? I don't know if we brought that up yesterday.
I don't know about trying to get fired, but in getting fired, I was trying to remember, had he ever gone after the fans before? Because usually it's media
definitely.
Or overly protecting players like the DUI thing. That felt like a change. The thing that could get him in trouble is yelling at the people who literally give the money to the program to fund him.
Exactly. This is why it was actually a little bit different than all the other Mike Gundy gaffes that we've become accustomed to.
But I think it's in the same genre, because Mike Gundy gets angry, you know, and like I think it's just a matter of time before he is not one who likes getting criticized.
Yeah, but he basically called the fan base like poor mouth breathers. I mean, that is not cool.
Wow. I was supposed to keep going to that, by the way.
And then said, I didn't mean to offend you. There is no there's nothing nice about those sentiments. There's nothing like benign about them.
Yeah, no, I meant it's cool that you can't pay your bills. Like, what?
20 years.
You out of touch loser.
20 years at Oklahoma State is a long time.
Wow.
I mean, for someone making $7 million a year to be like, you guys can't even pay your bills is something else. I think he's trying to get fired. I don't know which big coaching jobs are going to be open at the end of the year that he could have gone after. Like, Florida is going to probably be open again, but he probably could have gone after that job.
I don't know, two
coaches ago.
He's been there. How long has he been there now?
20 years. That's what I just said.
Yeah, 20 years, right? Like, it feels weird, like, to me. Like, he's just going to switch to Florida or something? You guys could be right, but
I think maybe he looks at the Big 12 and this new college football playoff, and it's like, people here are expecting me to make this 12 college football playoff, but I don't have the resources or whatever he's going to say.
I mean, he should want to stay there forever, in theory, right?
Yeah.
If the Big 12 is down, it's not as hard as the Big 10 in the SEC by far. Maybe it's harder than the ACC. That's maybe debatable. But, like, in terms of the colleges that are in that conference, they have the most resources. They have the access to the best players. Like, you should want to be a lifetime guy there.
Daly's in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, said Mike Gundy should apologize for his hair, air quotes.
Yeah. That's been going on for 10 years. Like, this is like Gundy's the thing there. He's like Kirk Ferentz in Iowa. I just can't picture it. You guys could be right, but like Mike Gundy coaching Florida would be the most bizarre thing you've ever seen in your entire life.
Kirk Ferentz anywhere. Never said, hey, Iowans, like, you guys can't pay your bills.
Totally irrelevant. I mean, if they won and he said that, then it wouldn't make the slightest difference. But aren't they 0-6 in conference play? So, of course, he's vulnerable. But if they turn around and get a great quarterback in the transfer portal and win again, he can say whatever he wants.
And on the flip side of that, if you're one of these teams looking for a head coach of Florida, maybe even a Florida State, like, do you want Mike Gundy? Yeah.
Not now. Probably. I mean, he's having the worst year of his career.
Yeah. So he's trying to get himself fired, like, which he's a wacko. So he very well could. And he's maybe doing a good job of it. I just don't know, like, who's extending their hand, being like, oh, yes, come here. Take my $8 million a year, please.
I mean, college football in the NIL era, maybe turn around fast, get the right guy in next year.
Yeah, so the people who you're depending on to give you money, now you're going to insult them. Anyway, Bogish, sorry about that. Slash, what else do you got?
Headlines. They're all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. The night began with two unbeaten teams in the NBA. Now we're down to one. Here's the survivor.
Mitchell comes left of the lane. Put it up. I got it! A foul again! On two straight possessions, Donovan Mitchell takes serious body contact, banks it in, and a chance for another. And one.
Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Donovan Mitchell scoring 29 in a 131-122 win in New Orleans. Cleveland is 9-0 for the first time in its 55-year NBA history. It is the Thunder, meanwhile, who are no longer undefeated.
5 seconds to go. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander off the run.
Peyton Watson blocking SGA's potential tying hoop for a 124-122 Nuggets win. Nikola Jokic, 23 points, 20 rebounds, and 16 assists. The Suns are 7-1 after topping the Heat 115-112, and the Warriors are 7-1 after a 118-112 W in Boston. Steve Kerr booed loudly pregame for not playing Jason Tatum more during the Olympics. Paul George went back to L.A., got booed as well, and the Sixers lost to the Clippers 110-98. Philly is 1-6 after a fourth straight loss, but Joel Embiid now expected to make his season debut on Tuesday.
It's been good.
Wait, is this part of the suspension? Because you can't tell. Or is this just Joel Embiid not playing? Or have we gotten into the three-game suspension portion of this?
I haven't done the math on how many games they have left between now and Tuesday, but the suspension will be over by then.
So they counted these as games he could have played.
Oh, definitely.
Because he could be paid for these, even though he's on the court.
Right, so these are just DNPs.
No, we're in the suspension now.
Someone has to tell me when we're in the suspension and when we're just not playing.
We were always in the suspension. I don't know that he could have played last night otherwise, but he was technically suspended last night.
No, Bogus, I think the ruling was once he's able to play, then the suspension begins.
Who decides he can play, though?
I think that's how the story was worded. I don't know.
I'm reading it right here. So Sham said the three-game suspension will span Wednesday versus Clippers, Friday versus Lakers, Sunday versus Hornets.
And then that sets up his first game of the season against the Knicks in the NBA Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. The NBA Cup is back next week.
Yeah. NBA Cup.
I'm going to the Knicks-Nets NBA Cup game.
Wow.
When those two teams get together for the NBA Cup, you know what they say.
Throw out the record, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I saw...
You might want to bring a book or something. Magazine.
I saw a couple of the new courts that were so terrible last year. The first few I was scrolling through didn't look that bad. I thought they like got the note from last year, and then all of a sudden they went back. Some of them are just still atrocious.
Some of them are really bad. I was impressed by how many of them aren't unwatchable.
Agreed.
I was like I thought the Knicks one last year was like really, really tough.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad.
Some of them, it's like either the color is so saturated coming through my TV or something where it's just unpleasant to watch.
I don't know. I feel like we sound like kind of old fogies. Like, it seems like it's to appeal to kids, right? Like a video game. Isn't that the idea?
No, it is. Yeah. I mean, this is a whole thing about, you know, making it look very online friendly.
Yeah.
You know, my college has done this where they created this whole scene on the court where it's like the skyline of Washington, D.C. on the GW court. And I find it extremely distracting.
Oh, you don't like those?
I do not. I don't like the one in Oregon either.
I love the leaves
are on the ground.
I love weird courts. I love Oregon. I love when they do red courts, blue courts. I'm totally down with this. I actually like the in-season courts. I mean, what's the difference? Like, a normal court's like
the difference is the migraine I got from watching some of those games last year.
I feel like it's burning a hole in my retinas.
Yeah.
Anywho.
John Calipari, 1-for-1 as Arkansas's coach. The 16th-ranked Razorbacks, a 76-60 home win over Lipscomb. Arkansas... They've got a freshman named Boogie Fland. He scored 17 points last night. Can anyone tell me why he's nicknamed Fland?
Nicknamed
Flan.
There it is.
Don't be a Simpsons fan.
Third-ranked UConn, a 92-56 route of Sacred Heart to start its season. And number 25, Rutgers, took care of Wagner, 75-52. Projected lottery pick Dylan Harper scoring 20 in his college debut.
Ooh, is that a son?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ron Harper's son.
The second one to go to Rutgers.
Yes. Micah Parsons was back at Cowboys practice yesterday, but we don't know yet if he'll return from his high ankle sprain this weekend. Dodgers GM Brandon Gomes said yesterday Mookie Betts returns to the infield next season. That's either second base or shortstop. And the Capitals beat the Predators 3-2 with Alex Ovechkin scoring career goal number 861. Now needing 34 to pass Wayne Gretzky. Guys, back to you.
Wait, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
So Perloff wanted to know how many home runs I've comprised.
What'd you get?
I had 14, okay. 14 home runs.
Well, who is in second?
I don't know. I did mine.
Everyone has to do their own. Yeah.
I think we tasked you with the responsibility of keeping everyone score at some point, but maybe not.
That definitely didn't happen.
I don't even remember who was on my team.
I have everyone's written down.
Thank you.
I can barely remember mine. I think I had Kiki Hernandez, right?
So this was from when the playoffs started. Did you know Kiki Hernandez was on the
deck? I had Stanton, Hernandez, and...
I had Pete Alonso, Kiki Hernandez, and...
Freddie Freeman.
Freeman. Yeah, I had Freeman. That was my first pick.
I know I had Aaron Judge. After that, it gets kind of blurry.
All right, I got to find this now. This was something that started before the baseball postseason, and we all picked players to see who, how many home runs they would hit. It's in a different notebook. It's been so long, I've already made it through one notebook, and I'm on to the second one.
Okay, I know my team. I had Bryce Harper.
You did.
I remember
Juan
that.
Soto, and a sounds third weird. Guy.
Did you take Lindor?
Lindor. So Lindor hit what, two? You guys are Mets fans. Three, maybe?
Not definitely like, not three.
Like three. Hit the grand slam. Anyway, I think I had five.
John Carlos Stanton had seven. There's a chance that I beat you guys with just one guy, some of you guys.
Good chance.
But, so but Nico is last.
Right? He had guys who played two games. And
right. The math doesn't need to be math. We know Nico lost.
But this
Attaboy, GQ.
EJ is going to be king for a day tomorrow.
I remember, Maggie, you had Jose Ramirez, which I thought was an interesting pick, and he definitely hit one or two.
He hit one.
Okay, one or two.
No, I was terrible at this game.
Well, this is, there was a lot of luck involved. I'm sorry, EJ, you are not claiming like you had some brilliant, like, were you looking at the analytics before you made your choices?
John Carlos Stanton is a monster in the postseason and a prolific home run hitter. I was very happy to take him number one, or two, whenever I took him, two.
Oh, so you passed on him first.
I took Shohei Ohtani. You called the Babe Ruth yesterday.
But I saw the shoulder Dummy. Injury coming.
Dude can't slide. Just wait.
We've got a lot to do, including we actually have another baseball bet. We're going to pay one off tomorrow where EJ will be king for a day on the show. We have another baseball bet already lined up.
We do?
Yes. Yes.
About what?
I'm going to tell you next.
It's like Groundhog Day.
We have a baseball bet?
Bizarro memento. The show never happens.
Don't move. What's our baseball bet? We're going to shock all of us, including Perloff, with the answer next. Welcome back. All right, we're all going to find out together, including Perloff, the new baseball bet that we have going on.
I am very glad. This is not one that we've done on air yet.
No, we did not do it on the air.
I just missed behind the scenes. But go ahead and explain.
Okay, so today we are all going to put down in blood, not ink, not permanent marker, blood, where Juan Soto is going to sign, how much is he going to sign for, and what day is this going to get announced? So the trifecta, and whoever's gets the combination of closest things, I guess, gets to win the bet. We're going to figure out that part of it. But everyone has to go and make a prediction. Perloff, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Apparently, we just surprised you with this right now.
No. I knew. But when you say bet, I think it's more as like a prediction. Are we putting stakes on this?
I think we should.
Okay. Well, that's different because I was considering using this segment to advocate for him to come to Philadelphia. I mean, it is like the shortest stadium on earth. He could hit a million home runs. But I think he goes to the New York Mets, who, and I did the math, I actually got my calculator out,
okay,
are going to give him $525 million over 12 years, which equals $43.8 million a year. Now, honestly, I think that's a bargain, because if you could get like this long Bryce Harper, like 10 to 12-year contract, then it's not going to be that much per year. I do think he's going to either get to 500 or push 500. I think you're going to need to pay a premium if you're the Mets to get him away from the Yankees because the Yankees had a successful year and he has that, those strong hitters around him that makes life easy for him. So I think the Mets pay a premium, get up to 525 for 12, which averages $43 million. And I'll say January 29th.
Oh, you and I have the same date.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
I'll change mine.
Okay,
I believe that Juan Soto, this is like Clue.
In
the conservatory.
With the wrench.
With the rope. Okay, I think it will be January 28th then. I'm going to go one day before you because
okay.
I said the 29th also because it was a Wednesday in the middle of football. I'll go with the 28th. I think the number is going to be 515 over 12. So that's about 42 a year.
Thank God I went first.
And I believe he's going to sign with the New York Yankees. I think they keep him. New York Yankees, January 28th, 515 over 12 for Juan Soto. That's my prediction. EJ?
So I'm going to go with Juan Soto signing with the New York Mets. I'm going to say that Uncle Stevie will want this done by December 30th.
Oh, Happy New Year.
And he's going to sign for, let's do 15 years. Let's do $580 million.
Wow. 580 just divided by 15, 38.6 a year.
That feels a little thin, dude.
Thin on the what? The year? The
dollars per year.
15 years? Who's 15 doing years, contracts though. That long?
I mean, that kind of hurts the player, too, because in 15 years, well, that's not a lot of money.
They will be an opt-out in this deal.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But still, I don't think that's a big enough number, believe it or not.
Okay, Manny, who do you have?
All right. Well, I've got the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Got it at 13 years.
Okay.
Couple of options.
Sure.
And lots of deferred money. Not exactly like Shohei, maybe kind of like 15 years in the first year. And then kind of back-ended, push it off to the back end, 13 years at 700.
Wow, you think he gets the 700?
I think Boris's main, I got something to say about Scott Boris, but I think Scott Boris's, what he wants out of this is to surpass Shohei's AAV.
Oh, so you think he's going to use Juan Soto as a tool just to one-up other agents?
His previous contracts to go ahead and one up his previous contract.
Yeah, but I think everybody knows that Shohei's deferral makes his AAV a lot lower.
But still, okay, yeah. Those are the predictions right there. So we all pick New York teams. Now, one of the reasons why I picked the Yankees, everyone, Manny and I are the Yankees, EJ and Perloff are the Mets. And I don't know how much stock to put into this, but there was a Ken Rosenthal report that Juan Soto does prefer to stay on the East Coast because it's closer to the DR.
Yeah, I read the same thing, and that's why I was going to pick the Dodgers.
I was going to pick the Dodgers, too, and I'm like, but, whoa.
Yeah, Fintan said that he talked to, at MLB, said he talked to almost every GM, and everyone thinks he's taking one of the New York teams. What about, I mean,
this is like when we found out that, obviously, Shohei Ohtani didn't want to be on the East Coast, only wanted to be on the West Coast because it was a bit closer to Japan.
I just want my Phillies to get in there because the Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Juan Soto, like I think they're all kind of tight. Like that Nationals team, everybody liked each other. So I think you make a play, even at $500 million. I have no idea where the money comes from. Don't quite understand this whole thing. I know where Steve Cohen's money comes from. He's absurdly rich. Yeah. But do you think there's an outside, like one of the usual suspects, like somehow the Padres, Rangers, Phillies, anybody gets involved in this?
Okay, so I have got one sleeper team. If you guys want to join the sleeper team.
Sure.
My sleeper team is the Boston Red Sox.
I
know. Manny,
wow, that feels like a big sleeper because they've so many guys that they won't pay. Why would they pay this guy?
I think at some point they've got to start being the Red Sox again, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't pay Mookie.
That point should have been 3 years ago.
I don't know why they didn't pay Mookie Betts. It was the dumbest thing ever. They also had the GM from the Rays, who they don't have anymore. So they fired those guys, and I just wonder, there's also a well-documented positive relationship about Dominican players in Boston. And obviously, most notably, David Ortiz. But you did see, even in some, I know this now because I've been, eyeballs deep in election coverage, there are counties in Massachusetts that are really heavily Dominican. It's like kind of this weird thing that people don't really, don't understand outside of Boston, because Boston is such a terrible reputation in terms of black players, but for Dominicans, it's seen as a very friendly place.
I mean, it's some of the greatest players they've ever had.
Yeah, Manny, David Ortiz.
Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro.
Yeah, whatever.
Manny's so salty.
I'll give you a Mr. Team. I'm going with San Francisco. I know it's West Coast, I know it's a little weird, but they are so desperate to finally get something. And now you have Buster Posey in there, and he's going to want to maybe, kind of plant his flag as a new president.
I think
that's the one I'm going with.
I think he's out of any West Coast teams. I think kind of like Shohei Ohtani, he doesn't want to go to the East Coast show because it's so far away from Japan. I think it's the same thing with Juan Soto. I don't think he wants to go to the West Coast because it's so far from the DR.
Yeah, right. That's what we were saying. Like he wants to be able to be close to his family, which you get. But so you got to think of other teams on the East Coast. I don't think it's Miami. I don't think it's Tampa. Maybe Baltimore? Are they going to come up with the money?
You say Toronto? Toronto is a team. Yeah, that's the other mystery team, I think.
But I think Toronto is kind of it's tough for guys because when you're making $700 million, do you care about taxes? But it's definitely a real thing. And Toronto we love it. The city is awesome. But do guys want to go there because of all the hassles with going in and out of the country? Adds a layer. All I'm saying.
Yeah. Where's the last?
I do think playing in Toronto in the summer is a lot easier than an NBA player, for example.
Oh, definitely. And George Springer is there. I mean, it's not like it never happens.
Right, but I mean, how many big superstars? When was the last time the Toronto Blue Jays got that big free agent signing?
Well, Springer. He was a big deal when he was on the market.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go back to, like, Roger Clemens.
Well, that was a little bit.
But Clemens was, I think, at a value at that point, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was coming.
You know, I guess I do think we... I remember, and I can't even remember things, where the Dodgers were like, oh, the Dodgers aren't in on this. And then the Dodgers decided at the last minute, hey, you know what? We are in on this. And they seem to have a way to pitch guys that is different than everybody. I mean, how many times they lost a couple guys to the Padres, which was freaky. But if they really want him, are you sure the Dodgers can't make a pitch?
They'll definitely make a pitch.
I mean, like, and if they, but.
But here's the thing. The Yankees made a pitch to Shohei Ohtani, and he just didn't, it wasn't in the cards. Like, but, they could never get him to agree to it.
But the Dodgers feel like, first of all, unlimited pockets, and also, too, they just feel like they're more effective. Like, the Yankees, I think the Dodgers are, like, the team now. So, I don't know. If the Dodgers really put their heart into it, I think that maybe they could get back in if they wanted to.
I think the Dodgers have their eyes on that Japanese pitcher that's coming in, the 26-year-old. I forgot what his name is.
Yeah.
What about Texas? I mean, Texas always finds a way.
They're all, thank you. You don't think about the Rangers. They're like, hey, guess who's paying up for this new, for Scherzer or whatever?
Guess who's paying for A-Rod?
Still.
Well, that was the big one.
Yeah.
No, they've had a couple of huge signings, haven't they? I just worry about if I'm New York, everyone thinks he's staying in New York. Just the Dodgers have done this before where all of a sudden they're out, then they get back in. But
listen, if the West Coast is an option, though, you make a good point about San Francisco dying to get one of these big players.
Yeah, but they always miss.
But when's the last time the Mariners went after somebody really big? It was like Robinson Cano.
I mean,
yeah. And they tried to get Shohei, and they couldn't really make that thing happen either.
No, we're not. I mean, now you're just naming teams. If we're talking about the Mariners, you're just
the
like...
The Twins.
Well, how about the White Sox? Like, come on. This is going to be one of the biggest markets with
Las
the biggest
Vegas
payrolls.
Las Vegas A's.
Just got to wait 5 years.
I think the A's are...
Sacramento A's for now.
Yeah, you got to play in Sacramento for at least 2 seasons.
And they're still going to be cheap in their new team, probably, anyway.
Of course they are. Now they're going to really be banking on just tourists coming to see the games. Like with the A's,
that's what the Raiders are doing
exactly.
Right now, right?
And the Raiders actually have a national fan base, but they probably feel quite neglected right now.
Maggie, you're both Mets fans. Will you be disappointed if Soto stays with the Yankees and doesn't say go to the Mets?
Yes, without a doubt.
I don't know.
You have the richest owner in baseball and maybe professional sports. Like, this is the time.
At certain points, Steve Cohen has to show that his bank account is actually an advantage. Because the best season the Mets have had was a year where they did not spend money.
Yeah, but traditionally, you can't buy a World Series title. Like, a lot more goes into it.
Oh, no, and it was a disaster when he spent a lot of money on Verlander and Scherzer.
I get it.
I was
wondering if there was any scar tissue from that. Okay.
No. You keep spending. This is the Yankees do it, did it.
Yeah, not too easy to build a team when you're just spending, huh, Mets fans?
Well, I'm just saying, like, the Yankees after the core four just, like, kept on trying to buy, and it almost went the wrong direction. So I worry, like, the Mets have to kind of, don't they have to build a team the right way? Like, you can't, Steve Cohen has all the money in the world. I don't think that what's wins your rings, except for the Dodgers.
They are, so you just be, like, inserting someone into lineup. Yeah, and the Dodgers literally just did it.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, the Dodgers, they have a multi-pronged approach. Yes, they're signing Freddie Freeman and bringing and Shohei, they're also developing these bullpen arms that are beating the Yankees in the World Series. Like, that's the combination the Mets are looking for.
Right. Like, did we just criticize the Yankees for being so top heavy and buying these sluggers and not having good fundamental players that they developed? I worry that could happen to the Mets if they try and buy a team.
Those are my boys.
But you,
I'd love to find out. Let's put this theory to the test.
F around and find out.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. So let's put this out on social. We have just predicted the team, the dollar amount, and the day that Juan Soto will be signing most likely one of the biggest contracts in free agent history. So there you go. 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on where Juan Soto will sign.
Yeah. EJ, you are officially keeping tally of this because you really didn't do a great job with the home run.
you
won the thing.
No, I won.
But which you should, because you had it won like by the divisional round.
Coming up, one team very non-committal on their quarterback of the future. Get to that next.